In Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, we read the psalmist saying, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. You see, the psalmist was dealing with a problem that we very often have. We hate to wait. And yet he says, I know that even while I'm alive here, yes, I know there's life after this one. I know there's heaven to come, but I know that I will see the Lord's goodness in this life too. I will wait for it. I will be prepared for it. And then in the book of Lamentations, verse 3, verse 24, or chapter 3, 24, I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Again, the writer says, I need to wait for God. But we hate to wait. How many times during the week do we find ourselves standing in a line somewhere waiting? We wait for the mail to come. We wait for someone to return a call that we made. We wait for a plane to arrive or a train to clear the crossing. We wait for the morning when we can't rest. We find ourselves just waiting and waiting, and you remember signs like that one in the picture? There are even more acute times of waiting, too. There are times when a childless couple waits for a child. There are times when a person is waiting for test results. And then when the test results come, they're told they need surgery, and they wait for the surgery, and then they wait after the surgery for recovery, and then they wait after that to heal from that. It's just one time of waiting after another. A single person waits for marriage or whatever God has in store for them. The chronically ill wait for healing, wait for health. Career people wait for the breakthrough. Students wait for graduation. The lonely wait for someone to reach out and make them feel like they belong. But for all the waiting that we do, we're really not very good at it. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, we find that God's people have always waited for him. It's always been a time of waiting. The people of Israel waited in Egypt for 400 years for God to deliver them. And when they were delivered and got to the promised land, they refused to go in, and so they had to wait 40 more years wandering around in the wilderness because they wouldn't trust God and his promises. And even when they did go into the promised land, the waiting was still not over. There were wars and oppression by the inhabitants that they were told to drive out but didn't. And then there were other nations who came in and attacked them. And they forgot God, and eventually they were taken into captivity, and they had to wait again. All throughout that time, though, the prophets kept telling them, hold on, the Lord will send a deliverer. He's going to send a Messiah. He's going to send judgment on those who are oppressing you. Things like Isaiah 8 and verse 17, I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. The prophet says, hold on. God knows what you're going through. He has blessings coming for you. Zephaniah 3, verse 8, therefore wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day I will stand up to testify. I have decided to assemble the nations, to gather the kingdoms, and to pour out my wrath on them, all my fierce anger. The whole world will be consumed by the fire of my jealous anger. God says, I know what you're going through. I know the problems you're facing. Hold on. Wait for me. My timing is perfect. And then it was though even the prophets got tired of waiting. For some 400 years there was silence. There was no more prophecy. And then things changed. You know, when we have to wait for so long, it does things to us. You can wait for so long, you can get put off so many times, that you get discouraged and disillusioned and unbelieving. People say things like, well, why is God taking so long? Why doesn't He do something? What's He up to? Has He forgotten us? Doesn't He know what's going on? Can't He see what's happening around us? Can't He see what our nation, what our families, what our state, what our country is going through? Other people say, well, God just acts like He has all eternity to work things out. Oh, actually He does, but He doesn't seem to see things the way that we see them. I mean, we think, well, what are you waiting for, God? Aren't you aware of how valuable our time is, how short our time is here? Why haven't you acted yet? But God isn't absent or unconcerned. The Bible tells us that He's patient. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So what's called for in the face of all this waiting is faith, not frustration. Listen to the words of David as he writes in Psalm 33, verse 20. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest on us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. David says, we have to trust God. And when he's writing this, he's being chased all over the country by King Saul. And he says, we have to trust God. He knows what He's doing. Psalm 38, verse 13. He says, I'm like a deaf man who cannot hear, like a mute who cannot open his mouth. I become like a man who does not hear, whose mouth offers no reply. I will wait for You, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord, my God. I've been asking You, Lord, what's going on? How long is it going to be? And he says, I'll wait for Your reply. What more can I say? We can't see what's coming. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they who love Your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for Your salvation, O Lord, and I follow Your commands. I obey Your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey Your precepts and Your statutes, for all my ways are known to You. God knows everything about us. There's nothing going to surprise Him. And Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Sometimes it seems like the night of waiting is so long. But God says, morning's coming. Hold on. In the book of Luke, we read about a man by the name of Simeon. John mentioned him in his class this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was in Jerusalem a man named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as You have promised, You now dismiss Your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen Your salvation, which You prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to Your people Israel. The fathers, or the child's father and mother, marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. You see here Simeon, he's in the temple. God tells him, you're not going to die until you see the Christ. And when Mary and Joseph bring in Jesus, he's about a month old at that time, to offer the sacrifice to redeem him, since he's the firstborn, as they were supposed to do. Simeon is there. He takes the baby in his hands and he says, now I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Christ. Now I'm ready to go. God fulfilled His promise. How long did Simeon have to wait for that? How many days did he go into the temple day after day looking for the Christ to come? And it didn't happen. But God fulfills his promise in his time. You see, Simeon's waiting had been rewarded. He'd seen the Christ. And he could now depart in peace without regret or frustration because he waited. And God kept his word. We too have a share in how we wait. There's different ways we can wait. We can wait in frustration, or we can wait in faith. Don't give up too quickly when everything seems to be going wrong. Never give up on a troubled situation. Everything doesn't have to be all right today. It doesn't have to be completely fixed today. Give God time. Pray about it. Keep talking to him about it. Give him time just like he gives us time. You know, there are two words in the Bible that are used to describe time. One of them is chronos. Chronos is clock time. It's 24-hour day time. It's minutes and seconds. It's the time by which we live. And then there's kairos. Kairos is the dramatic moment when life takes on new meaning. When the light bulb comes on. When God's word speaks to you loud and clear, it's the aha moment. When you finally see what you've been struggling to figure out for a lifetime. When it finally all makes sense. When you get new insight, new learning, new discovery. It's a moment that touches us and changes us. Kairos is the time in which God works. It's what the Bible says when it means when the time had fully come. When everything was in place. When everything was just right. But our greatest problem is that we live by the other clock. We live by chronos time. And God operates by kairos time. We need God's perspective. We need to be patient and know that he's going to give us the strength to wait for his perfect timing. As Paul told those in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, God's given you what you need. You'll be able to wait. He's going to keep you strong so that you can make it through the things you have to face day by day. And then Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, this is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed because I know whom I believe and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. You see, patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's part of what the Spirit allows us to have when we become a Christian. We're told we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to have patience. Now we have to let it work in our hearts. We have to allow God to be in control of things. But when we do, he will give us the strength to deal with the waiting that we must do. Patience is a gift from God. In Colossians 1 verse 10, we read, and we pray this in order that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. It's a gift from God. God gives us that gift so that we can have endurance, so that we can have patience, so that all the things we have to deal with day by day, we can make it through. Knowing that he hasn't forgotten, that he knows what's happening. One reason God gives us patience is so we can tell others about that patience. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:16, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Sometimes God makes us wait because it'll make us a better person. He wants us to learn to wait so that when others are waiting, we can say, hey, I had to wait too. And God was faithful. He did what he said he would do. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, or Hebrews 6, verse 12, rather. We're told, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You see, waiting works for us. It requires work on our part. It's a work that we have to do. We have to, through faith and patience, inherit. Is it easy to wait? No, waiting is hard work. We don't think of it as work, but it is. Because it requires trust on our part. We have to say to God, God, I trust you, and I know that you're going to do what you say you will do. Galatians 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Hold on. God knows what's coming. He's patient. He's waiting. The scriptures say that all are going to have the opportunity to come to repentance. God, why haven't you come back yet? Why haven't you sent that son back? Why haven't you sounded the trumpet and had the judgment day yet? Because he wants everyone to have the chance to repent. But that waiting is not going to last forever. The judgment day is coming. We're told in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It's going to come when people don't expect it. I got plenty of time. That's exactly when judgment day will come. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom God gave him. You see, the end is coming, and he says, be patient. God will give us the ability to do it, and he says, we're going to have to make the effort to do it. Not easy to wait. Will you use the opportunity that God has provided you today to respond to the sacrifice of his son and gain salvation? You know, he's told us how easy it is to obey the gospel. We must believe that Jesus is, James 2:19, you believe there's one God, good, even the demons believe that. That's a good starting place, but that's not going to do it. We must also repent of our sins, because it's our sins that separate us from God. We must confess our faith, Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And we must be baptized, immersed in water, to have our sins taken away. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit will renew yours. He will live in you. He will help you to be patient and wait. God knows when the end is coming. We don't know. We hear all the time when we ask for prayer requests about someone who all of a sudden passed away. And we say, how old were they? Oh, they were 40, they were 50, they were 20. You see, we don't know when the end is coming. God knows. We need to be ready. We wait patiently for him to come. But for each person, God's going to come at the end of our life if he doesn't come back before time. We need to be prepared. After you do those things, then we have to live faithfully. That involves waiting. Waiting on God, waiting patiently for him. You know, if you've already done those things, judgment day is going to come. And we need to be ready for God. If there's anything in your life that has gotten out of kilter and needs to be brought back in line, you need to take care of that even today. Because we don't know when the waiting will end. It's sort of like a plane that's circling the field. And we're going around and around and we're waiting for the call. Okay, it's time to land. Everything is prepared now. And we're in that waiting pattern right now. We don't know when God is going to say, it's time for my son to come back. It's time for him to come down and bring his children home. Are you ready for him to come back? Are you ready for judgment day? This morning we offer the invitation. If you need to have your sins washed away in baptism for the first time, if you need to rededicate any part of your life to him, you have that opportunity as we stand together now and sing our invitation song.